Hey again, and welcome to another episode of BitNote. We'll be playing video game music and talking about the games they're from. Hope you have a good time listening. All right, another episode of BitNote. So, what have I got planned for this show? Well, have a listen. That's a beautiful, haunting theme. That is the intro theme to Streets of Rage, developed by Sega and with the music there from Yuzo Koshiro, one of the great chiptune music composers, probably defined a lot of the 16-bit music. A lot of his stuff was ahead of its time, and you could just really, listening to that, you really upped the ante of what sort of music was expected out of games around that time. Streets of Rage is about a group of cops who have quit their corrupt police force and decided to take the battle to the streets. It kind of based around some of the themes in the movies of the 80s and around that general area. It's based in a great big American city with bright big blinking lights of skyscrapers, and you have to take it to the streets with all these street gangs and guys outfitted in all these really colourful uniforms. The game's kind of a mix of being kind of brutal, but also kind of like bright, vivid, and cartoony. You've got all these great big enemies and crazily outfitted hooligans and gang members all trying to beat the crap out of you. But you're controlling one of three characters, and maybe your friend is controlling one of the other two you left him. And basically, your job is to walk through the streets and hit, slam, jump, kick everything you can to fight through the oncoming hordes of enemies. Every time you beat them, a great big symbol says go appears on the screen, and you keep walking on through all these diverse locations and through the night and all these crazy locations trying to make it to the end and get to the final boss and defeat them. If anyone ever talks about a side-scrolling beat-em-up, this is one of the games that's bound to come to mind. It obviously was very popular in the arcades, and where basically you put in your money, you got the credit, you tried to beat them through the streets as far as you could go, and if you died, you had to put in more money to get another continue. And of course, there's all the console home versions, like on the Sega Mega Drive, where you gave a set amount of continues anyway and could just try to push as far as you can. I always liked the aesthetics and the general feel of the Streets of Rage, although I still think that some of the Streets of Rage 2 was a bit better than Streets of Rage 1. I mean, they improved the colours, and of course they had a roller skating guy in it. So, I mean, that's the sort of thing you're dealing with here. You've got all these defunct cops, you've got a city going to hell, and you've got crazy stuff like, for instance, breaking open a trash bin will find a great big roast chicken, and you're really happy to see the chicken because if you go up to it and press punch and quickly eat it, then you'll replenish a lot of your health. That's the sort of things that games were about back then. You would find a great big roast chicken and you would eat it to replenish your health. I believe Castlevania was actually pretty popular for there, but I mean, Castlevania didn't hide the great big roast chickens in a garbage bins or other things. They hid it in walls of castles. Somehow, I don't know how the chicken stays fresh. I think Dead Rising is Dead Rising series is the only game where if you break open a rubbish bin and find food, there's actually a chance that the food might have already been spoiled, and so therefore eating it might actually make you sick. But in pretty much every other game, if you find food in a garbage bin, it's perfectly safe to eat, and not only is it perfectly safe, it will actually replenish some of your health, and it's always a good thing. So remember, kids, food from garbage bins, perfectly safe. The gameplay was also pretty frantic and fun. It wasn't just a case of moving around and punching and jumping, but also, like you'd expect from any good fighter, you could just chain things together and get a good set of attacking combos. Would you decide to just quickly double tap left and then sprint at the enemy and then jump and kick them, or just kick them as they went, or try to get close to the enemy, which automatically make you grapple, and then you could either just punch them right then or jump right over their head and then just do a hurling throw at them. So like anything, depending on your actions and context sensitivity, you could get all these different actions going. The game also had a lot of nice little weapons going, which has also made things a bit fun. So you could quickly pick up a great big bit of piping and then slam, which was always a great weapon because it had great reach, and try to slam your enemies from a distance. Or even if you hit it right, you'd slam two of them at the same time. Or maybe you'd just pick up a knife and just throw it at the enemy and just hope that it actually hit them rather than missed them. And also, but one thing with all these weapons, you have to be very careful, because if you try to go up to try to hit an enemy with a lead piping, they hit you first and you drop the piping, then they'd pick it up and beat the heck out of you out of it. So it was one of those really things with all these fighting games back then. You had to, whenever you took a weapon into the battle, you had to do all you could to damn well sure you damaged your enemy with the weapon, but that they didn't damage you with it. And of course, the other great thing about these sort of games is always that, you know, other people would join up with your friend would join you as a second player, and you beat them all together. And then, of course, one of them would always keep living the lives, and the other would say, come on, you can do better than this. I suppose one of the reasons that the game has come to mind recently, aside from the fact that it's just got, you know, it was very vibrant, it had a lot of interesting locations, a lot of cool stuff going on, and sometimes it gets, the game would get sort of surreal. I mean, like I said, it had that great mix of like sort of taking a serious thing with the tone and how you're in a crazy city and everything's going to hell, but at the same time having crazy stuff like some people, like some of your enemies would be these like what looked like showgirls with whips that would attack you with the whips. And then, of course, I think one of the later games, you end up in a base fighting into a baseball field, and then you hit the home base, and then suddenly the whole thing descends on a gigantic elevator. So this thing could get really surreal and crazy, but it was just a lot of fun, and that's what mattered. I certainly think that Streets of Rage is a very endearing series of games, and it's kind of pity it hasn't been quite as popular afterwards. But then we always have the original games, and Sega do tend to re-release a lot of their old games, and I believe this is even available on the iPad, so good times for all. I'll play one more piece from this game, the Stage 1 music. Cool. Next song. So that track was Free Time by Masafumi Takeda and Jun Fukuda from the video game Contact by Grasshopper Manufacture. Takeda, of course, has composed music in many other great games such as No More Heroes and Killer 7. But let's move on to the actual game. Contact has a game with that a very whimsical, nice storyline, a lot of nice ideas for gameplay. It's got beautiful music and very nice graphics. I have never finished it and never want to finish it. Yes, so why is this the case? This game starts pretty nice. You are a boy and then there's a scientist involved, and it's on the Nintendo DS. It was released around about the mid-noughties. And essentially the fun thing about the game is that, like, in one screen you've got a pixelated style with the professor and the dog, and in the bottom screen you've got this beautifully, gorgeously rendered style of the world as you make it through it and talk to people and everything. And here's the thing. You need to grind. So grinding is something that so many video games have, and yet so few get right. And boy, I mean, what is grinding? My friend, grinding is like this. In a lot of video games I grew up with, and especially with platformers, whether or not you got past point, and by the way, this is somewhat biased a point, but then pretty much everything in this show is a biased account. Pretty much every game, it'd be about skill. If you could like run across a platform, jump before the door closed and get onto the next stage, then it was because you had the skill and the reactions to get through it. If there was an enemy and you were in a shooting game and you managed to had to keep dodging the shots and keep returning that, if you passed it one time, if you didn't pass it at the beginning but passed it at the end, it was because you got good at it. You kept playing, you learned the patterns, you challenged yourself and you got better. But some games, it's not about whether you get better at something, it's about whether it's about whether what your number and your statistics are. This is it in a lot of role-playing video games. You battle an enemy and you select your actions, and when you defeat them, you get experience. When you get experience points, you usually get upgrades so that you can attack more or defend more. The more you can attack, the you deal with stronger enemies. When you defeat the stronger enemies, you get even more experience. That flips up your attack and defense even more, and also your agility so you can dodge shots. The thing is, the higher this number is, you get to higher and higher levels with higher abilities, and this enables you to defeat higher levels. The problem with this is, if you deal with a high level enemy, you won't be able to defeat him, not because you're not good enough, but because you haven't got the high enough number. So what you have to do is, you've got to go back to a lot of weaker enemies, do the same thing over and over again, a bunch of repetitive, very, very repetitive battles to get enough experience so suddenly you're powerful enough to deal with this guy. And if it's done well, it's great, because you have to make decisions over what the best way to do the battle is, who to fight, how to get strong enough enemies to increase your experience points, but not enough, not so much that you might get completely defeated by the enemy, and it can be done well. But with contact, what happens is you get a weapon, you go near an enemy, and automatically you take swipes at the enemy. And so then you just wait. You don't take strategic decisions or anything. You just have to wait until the enemy is defeated or you realize you chose the wrong enemy. And just so much repetitious battle. Finally said, no, I can't have my time wasted by this. And I decided from then on that I would not let myself play games that had endless repetition like this. It just had me doing the same thing over and over again for gradual rewards. I lost my patience with them. And honestly, Contact was the game that made me hate any sort of leveling up or grinding, which is a pity because it was a game that had a lot of nice ideas like cooking, but anyway, let's move on. So here at BitNote, I tend to play a lot of good video game music, but every now and then I show music that's more inspired by video games than rather than a video game itself. So recently I came across a band called Freen and Green. They're a Canadian band essentially, and they've got this really nice fun little story about how they're band came together. The idea is that they're kind of a cartoon band and they've made a lot of cool tracks, but they've made some cool video game related music, like some remixes of Sonic music and also some other songs which they've made available on Rock Band. But it's actually some of their original music that I like a lot as well. Of course, if there's one thing I've expressed time and time again on this show, it's that video game music doesn't have a specific genre or a style. There's nothing that is in common with every type of video game music other than the fact it's all, well, music from video games. And so saying something is inspired by video game music doesn't really mean anything unless you're talking about the specific type of video game music it's inspired by. And in this case, it's inspired by a lot of the early 90s sort of like platformer musics, the ones that would have great big colorful worlds and you'd go off on a great big adventure and each level would have some great big characteristics, you know, styled in a certain way or qualities that make it unique from all the levels before and after it. And you'd be dealing with all these robots or villains that would just keep coming at you and you'd defeat them and go on and on. I mean, to be honest, a lot of games are still like that, but there was something about in the early 90s sort of like platforming bright colored video games where you just go on a great big adventure and fight level after level of monsters or enemies or whatever and see all these great big sceneries and finally reach to the end and the final boss and defeat them and win the game. And it's sort of these bright, vibrant, colorful music of these sort of games and levels that Freen and Green actually tried to take inspiration from when trying to make the music from their game. In fact, for a lot of such songs, they actually created this whole little story and like level description for each of the game and each of the individual levels that these music would allegedly play in. So what I'm about to play in now is called Riptide Resort. And the description for this song is, or piece of music is, finally breaking free of the confines of Frontier Factory, our heroes wash up on a beautiful beach on a remote island. After relaxing a little and resting up for their long journey, they trek across along the coast to plan their next move. After a while, they decide to head for the jungle. While exploring, they find out the wildlife isn't happy to have them there, and so the chase begins. Alligators, crocodiles, giant spiders, snakes. Run! Here's the track. Thank you. That was a great track. That was like from one of their earliest albums. But their first album contained a mix of various songs, and half of it was more that sort of video game inspired music, and the other half was more was other stuff that was varied and kind of a rock, sort of indie rock. I'm not really good with music genres, in case you haven't guessed by now. But their next album was called Pixelated Planet, and in case you haven't guessed, this was hugely inspired by video game music. But not only is this album intended to be like a whole soundtrack for a fictional video game, but they're actually trying to remove the fictional part to actually create a real video game that features this album as their soundtrack. So what seems to be is a band that's making music for fictional video games that don't exist is now actually working on defictionalizing one of the games for their Pixelated Planet music album. Now, Pixelated Planet, the music album, has actually been released. It's got a great selection of songs and everything, but the game hasn't been released yet, and I was trying to look up information for when it would be, but it seems it'll be a bit off. But that's completely normal in game development. These things often take longer. So, in any event, I think that the first level theme of first track, you know, depending whether you're talking about the upcoming video game or the actual album itself, is called Winter City. So I think it was time to play. I think I'll finish up the show by playing that track. So thank you very much for listening, everybody. This has been David Collins with BitNote, playing video game music. You can download these episodes on dublinsouthfm.ie, and you can also follow us on Twitter at BitNote FM. Thank you very much for listening, and hope you've enjoyed. Oh, I almost forgot to give the level description for this piece of music. Our heroes take a well-deserved vacation in an elegant London-esque city. Snow is falling gently during the night as they go for a midnight stroll. They've got no place to be and nothing to do, so they are decided to see the sights. "Oh, look," says one of them, "there's a vintage train station over there." They make their way over to the lovingly restored building and notice an old-fashioned steam train parked in the tracks that run behind it. Eagerly, they get on board and take a look around, and when suddenly the doors close behind them and they feel a jolt of movement followed by a maniacal laughter. Oh no, the train was moving. Where are our heroes being taken? And by whom? There's only one way to find out. This is David Collins with BitNote, playing Winter City. Hope you enjoy.